Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Pastor Hosa, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, my brother. How are you doing?
Very well, thank you. Pastor, are you doing well?
I am doing well, thank you. It's been a hectic start to the year, but we are glad we are still here.
Lovely. Thank you so much for that. Now, we're talking about sibling rivalry, which is actually a common occurrence in many households. Mm. But you know, its consequences can sometimes be underestimated. You know, for instance, how often can one see siblings arguing over some trivial, only for the tension to linger much longer than expected? You know, for some, feelings of jealousy or competition don't end in childhood, and that is the reason for our conversation on the effects of unchecked sibling rivalry. Now, Pastor, is sibling rivalry an inevitable part of every family?
Yes, I think that is a very good question and a very good topic. And bickering and fighting, I think, is part of being relational beings. It's something that I fundamentally think has to do with fairness. You know, as human beings, we are fundamentally concerned with fairness. And it just so happens that when we live in the same household, there's a lot more potential for fairness to be tested within the relationship dynamics. So it might seem that siblings bicker and fight much more, but I think that's because in the environment of parents and their care for children, and siblings normally at different age levels, so what is deemed fair is always a very complex concept, because what is fair for a 15-year-old is not necessarily fair for a 7-year-old, and the 7-year-old might not have the capacity to understand. And the 15-year-old might remember when they were 7 years old, and the parents have grown in their their parenting style, or so that's why I think it's quite normal, as you have said. But when we come to the point of where does it become like toxic, or where does it become like an unhealthy relationship, we can talk on that. But let me just pause there for a moment.
Lovely. Now,
or would you like me to continue?
No, that's fine. Now, okay. Tell me, are there any positive or beneficial aspects of this sibling rivalry?
I do think so. I do think, you know, in terms of having this kind of tension, or at least a dynamic within a relationship, do teach our children how to handle conflict. It teaches them for when they are with their friends. It teaches them for, you know, friendship one day, or school interactions, learning to develop their own way of bringing over what they would like to say. So I think there are benefits to this dynamic. But I think we need to caution in terms of where it can become toxic in a relationship is where fundamentally the trust, the fairness within a relationship dynamic is it's touched. But in terms of, you know, I always use the example when you have a packet of wine gums, there's 12 within it, you have 2 children, it's very easy to deal with that. Each one gets 6. But if you now have a packet of sweets and you tell the children, just put your hands in and take as many as you like, what is the first question that is asked afterwards? When the kids now have their hands out of the packet, what do they do? They count.
Yeah, of course they count. Yeah.
How many did you get? How many did, you know, I only got black ones, or I only got blue ones, or whatever the case might be. Because, you know, it boils down to that desire for what is given and what is received to be fair. I think that illustrates to some extent why there is this constant, because a child is still trying to gauge, and a child does have entitlement that would enable them to look differently at things that we might at the older stage, or at adulthood, might have already worked through. So yeah, there might be a lot more bickering among small children, adolescent children, than there would be in adulthood. But, and I think this is what you touched on, is that when the unfairness gets to a point where it's stuck in that kind of relationship, where there's a deep sense of, but I am being treated unfairly in this household, and you know, my brother or my sister is treated substantively different to how I am being treated, that can create lasting impact and more pathological interactions in sibling relationships.
Now, what would you say? Well, first, I must actually check that we have seen sibling rivalry even in the scripture, you know, and siblings are generally expected to fight from time to time, as we have seen also in the olden days. But if it goes unchecked, what are the dangers that we are likely going to face?
Okay, I think one of our scripture examples that speaks to the extreme we can find in 2 Samuel chapter 13, where you have the story of Amnon and Tamar, Tamar being the sister of Absalom, and we know the story of Absalom, how that ended. And if we read the preceding chapters, you will find that David's household is very much pretty much toxic in terms of the relational aspects. You know, he's not speaking to one of his wives. He's had an affair with somebody else's wife, and a child is conceived through that. And then you subsequently have Amnon that falls, I won't say fall in love, he lusts after his sister. And the Bible says she was very beautiful. And, you know, Absalom picks this up, and he cautions David on it. And when Amnon approaches his father, he makes it clear that his desire is more than just that I like my sister as a sister, but he desires more. And David does not react on that. You know, he kind of is busy with other things. If you see what happens preceding chapter and the chapter after, he doesn't parent in that moment, telling Amnon, but what you are busy with is sinful and destructive. And Amnon feels he has this entitlement to his sister, which basically ends in him raping his sister. And at the end of that, long story short, Absalom feels entitled towards revenging his sister. And he murders his brother because of what he did to his sister. So here you have the end of an unchecked, toxic sibling rivalry, where it ends in rape, murder, and eventually Absalom feeling that his father is not the godly man that he, or at least anointed, and he tries to overthrow his father's throne and take it for himself, feeling entitled to that that title of king. And I think that is what it boils down to, is that there's a sense of destructive entitlement that permeates relationships, where unfairness is the prevailing dynamic, that or the perceived unfairness that is within and it is a complex situation, where, you know, parents can have influence in that, relationship personality types, you know, it never gets dealt with, or we do not allow our children to see what healthy conflict resolution looks like in the household, because, you know, mother and father is always dealing with matters in the shouting or the sorry, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay, sorry, I just had another call come through, but I will manage to switch that off. So that, to me, speaks to the parents' involvement in managing these relationships, that there is a role to play.
Now, at what point should parents allow children to sort out their own differences independently, and when should they step in?
Okay. I think that's a very important question, because fundamentally, parent-child relationships are existential relationships, meaning that they do not cease to exist. A friendship, you can dissolve a friendship. You know, your friend that you had in grade two is not your friend anymore. You might not even know where they are. You won't classify them as a friend, or even marriages. You know, marriages dissolve, and they get remarried, and for whatever reason, and you know, the person is not your husband or your wife anymore. But at no point can you say, this is not my child anymore, or this is not my brother or my sister anymore. It's an existential relationship. And that's why it's such a heavy relationship when movements happen within it, and have consequences. And I think as parents, we need to recognize that our children did not choose to be here, and therefore the accountability and responsibility is always skewed towards the parents. To parent within their households, and that involves giving our children the space, you know, to be themselves, but to recognize when interactions are not healthy interactions, to be able to recognize. But now, you know, the brother is not dealing with his sister anymore on a fair, healthy conflict resolution plane, but is actually now attacking the person. Or becoming destructive in their relationship dynamic, sabotaging or bullying or something to that effect. So I think as parents, we need to educate ourselves. We need to work in our own households on how does mother and father, how does father and his father, how do we deal with our siblings so that a child, the best way to teach a child to show them is to show them. How to deal with things. So I think that is where parents can offer their children ways of dealing with conflict, dealing with rivalry, dealing with when I feel that I have been aggrieved or that what happened to me is unfair, to deal with it in a manner that is constructive towards remedying the situation, bringing balance to the interaction, how to say sorry, how to make right, how to reconcile, and I think that is where parents can get involved. But if it's on, you know, I only got four sweets, you got six sweets, allow the children to manage that. Give them prompts, you know, how can you remedy this? Both of you have math, so try and solve this. But give them ample room to learn so that one day they can be functional adults, rather than being reactive or when strong emotions are brought to the front to rather sweep things under the carpet. No, address the things so that the children can recognize that this behavior is not fair. This behavior is not conducive towards the person that you know you are living with in an existential relationship. We ought to do that.
Yeah. Now, before I let you go, if this thing goes unchecked, of course, for a long period, we've talked about that, and people are now adults in their mid ages, maybe they're in their 30s, 40s, and this thing continues. We've seen other relationships actually having a fallout, and people don't talk to each other anymore. Is there a way to really come back to this after all of these fallouts have happened?
Yeah, I always work with hope. I don't think there's ever a hopeless situation. I do think that, however, how the level of conciliation or reconciliation looks like will depend on situation to situation. Sometimes there has been a lot of damage that has been dealt within, you know, how siblings interacted with each other or our parents. You know, contributed towards siblings being in this situation. But to get to your question, I do think looking at small movements in dealing with finding fairness again is that you can always build new trust. So perhaps the trust that was there has been destroyed, has been not dealt with responsibly, and there might be no trust. Then we say we build something new, and how that looks will depend on what level of concern with re-establishing fairness within the interactions from both sides. I think it has to be something that comes from both sides, but the initial interaction might come from one side. But I think as long as one person is feeling destructively entitled to something, that is where I normally find the barrier, that there has to be a desire for fairness, fair movements, giving and receiving that is balanced, that addresses the wrongs of the past, yet looks towards the future to renew and rebuild some new trust. Then there's always hope. But I think if you feel that you are in a situation where when you're in an interaction, I cannot go past this point, then it's good to get help, outside help, family therapist, just somebody that can mediate, in that can speak on your behalf, that can just get some movement in a relationship that is perhaps stuck in a destructive mode where you just want, you are not yet willing to give. And I think that will help to find somebody that can assist in those movements, somebody like a family therapist.
Yeah. Well, that's a very enlightening conversation there, Pastor Khoos, with us. And thank you so much for joining us. I think those who are listening,
really and, pleasure, Zana.
Thank you so much. And those who are listening, who would like to, contact with you and say, listen, Pastor, I have a situation here. Maybe we'll check if we have any requests, and then if there's any, we'll then get in touch with you. Is that right?
Well, that's perfect. Thank you so much.
All right then. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.